Chapter 27.
He's exquisite, isn't he?
High Priestess Selene said from her backless throne chair. Kryzak shrugged his wide shoulders. In his heavy hand, he held a large yellow stone that swirled with mystic energy. In between her and Kryzak stood Gorli. The changeling wore dark gray robes that covered everything but his head, hands, and wrist. His pinkish skin and white hair intrigued Selene. In all of her centuries, she'd never encountered a changeling before, so far as she knew. She knew of them, but like most, she knew little about them. The changelings were even more introverted than dragons. She tapped her fingertips together and showed a wolfish smile.
I can't imagine why this creature would aid Nath Dragon, she said. But I'll understand soon enough.
Her eyes ran up and down Gorli.
Like finding a diamond in the sewer.
She rose from her chair, made her way down the steps, and studied Gorli. He stood tall but listless as an empty vessel. His face was well-featured, his frame lithe but well-knit. His pale green eyes sparkled with intelligence and curiosity, but the fires that had ignited them with derision toward her were gone.
Do you understand me?
Gorli nodded. She rubbed his arms with her hand and caressed his body with her tail.
Do you have a name?
He shook his head.
Do you have a tongue?
He shook his head again.
Speak!
She demanded.
Do you have a tongue?
Yes,
he said, in a soft voice as polished as stone.
What are you?
A changeling,
he answered.
But you don't know your name? I cannot recall it.
She glared at Kryzak and said,
I hope you did not overdo it.
He held out the bright yellow stone.
The Chamal stone has a mind of its own.
Selene turned her back on Kryzak and faced Gorli.
Change into an orc.
A what?
Gorli said. Selene's eyes flared and her fists clenched.
He doesn't even remember what an orc is?
She spun Gorli toward Kryzak.
Change into him.
Gorli's pale eyes narrowed to slits, and his body changed and contorted. In seconds, he was a mirror image of Kryzak, but in different robes.
Excellent!
She clapped her hands.
You're going to need to escort him through the city and let him familiarize himself with people and the races. Take him through the towers and into the galleries. He's sharp. It won't take him long to figure things out.
Kryzak stood glaring at Gorli, and Gorli glared back at him. Every little move Kryzak made, the changeling mirrored.
Please tell him to change back. Please tell him to change back.
Gorli's voice, the same as Kryzak's, echoed. Selene laughed.
Seems you can be replaced after all, Kryzak. How nice it would be to have a man who can change the scenery.
She rubbed Gorli's tattooed head and played with his ear. Kryzak's eyes became hot with jealousy.
Does that bother you?
She said, rubbing Gorli's bulging arms and back.
My queen,
Kryzak said.
You know this is torture for me. I've died for you, and this thing has done nothing.
Nothing yet, Kryzak. Nothing as of yet.
She stretched out her arm and opened her palm.
I'm certain that will change. Now depart from me and see that he is well trained.
Kryzak laid the Chamal stone between her fingers, took a knee, and bowed. With a grunt, he led Gorli out of Selene's chamber. Selene drifted up the stair and resumed her place on the backless throne. The Chamal stone was warm and living in her hands.
Let's see what kind of memories were stored in that wonderful mind.
She closed her eyes and started to chant in Dragonese. Smoke rolled from her nostrils and over her lips. Her eyes snapped open, glowing with bright purple fires. The Chamal stone flamed and lifted from her hands, glowing like a yellow star. Selene clutched the arms of her throne and inhaled the mystic energies of the stone. Gorli's memories became hers. She saw his parents, his home, his decades wandering alone. The way he toyed with people thrilled her. His great powers chilled her. Gorley. That was his name. Good-natured. Curious. He wanted to stop her. Stop evil. Give aid to the good in the next dragon war.
I won't let that happen.
Minutes went by. Almost an hour. She savored every bit of him. She saw his friends as if they were standing right there. Brenwar Bouldergild, and a bunch of other dwarves. Bazog the wizard. Ben the warrior. And the great Nath dragon. All the names and locations of their friends and loved ones became hers.
My weapons can never have enough edges.
No doubt she would need to isolate them all from each other, similar to how she had the elves under wraps and the orcs, so that it wasn't likely they'd leave their lands. The part elf wizard Bazog made an impression in her mind. He was more than formidable with the power of the Elderwood staff.
We can't have too many heroes running amok and ruining my plans. Perhaps I shall take a closer look at who his wife Sasha is. It seems Bazog and Nath Dragon both talk about her much. Love makes an excellent weapon when you know how to use it against them.
She watched the pounding he'd given Bletfer and the escape he'd made from the Phantom.
It would have been nice to have him as an ally all these years. But at least I have him now.
She closed her eyes and broke the connection to the stone. The mystic memories that drifted sparkled and fell onto the dais and disappeared. Celine clasped her fingers together and rested her elbows on the arms of her throne.
And now I know precisely where Nath Dragon is. Poor Gorley the chameleon. He couldn't have given me a greater gift. Once again proving that heroics, which don't work, are only foolish efforts.
She squawked in Dragonese. Moments later, her pet Drelcher flew in and landed on the arm of her chair. Its scaly feathers were bright and colorful. She showed it the Chamelstone and said,
"Take this to the Phantom and have him take it to Bletfer. He's to keep it safe until I call for it."
The Drelcher let out a throaty little roar, snatched the Chamelstone in its mouth, and flew outside through the terrace. Celine sat straight up and showed a confident smile.
"I think this war might just be over before it's even begun."